Aleph, Parak Aleph, Mishnah Dalet. Yosi ben Yoezer Ish Tzreda, V'Yosi ben Yochanan Ish Yushalayim Kiblu Mehem. Okay, in the previous Mishnayos we learned that Shimon HaTzadik was the last of the Anshei Knesset Hagadola, and Antignos Ish Socho received the Kabbalah from Shimon HaTzadik, and now Yosi ben Yoezer Ish Tzreda, and Yosi ben Yochanan Ish Yushalayim received from them. Now, I'm not sure who from them is, because the previous Mishnah quoted one person. But obviously, when we talk about one person sort of receiving the Mesorah, it wasn't the only person in all of Klal Yisrael who had access to Torah. Right? So Yosi ben Yoezer and Yosi ben Yochanan were the next in line. Before we see what they say, even, I want to point out a few things. First of all, if you look in the Bar Tanura, which is in the bottom half of the page, he says, Yosi ben Yoezer ish Tzreda v'Yosi ben Yochanan ish Yushalayim. Kol ha-tanayim ha-nizkarim b'perek zeh zug zug. All of the tanayim, all of the great rabbis of the Mishnah who are mentioned in this perek, zug zug, what does zug zug mean? In pairs, as we see in this Mishnah, right? Yosi ben Yoezer and Yosi ben Yochanan, sometimes called in Shas Yosef ben Yoezer and Yosef ben Yochanan. So Yosei and Yosef might be the same name. So when you see pairs in these Mishnayos, and we'll continue to see pairs in the coming Mishnayos, Ploni uploni kiblu mi ploni uploni, right? These two individuals receive from these two individuals, Harishon mehem nasi, v'hasheni av bezdin. The first one mentioned is the nasi, and the second one mentioned is the Av Basin. Now, what's a Nasi and what's an Av Basin? So in the times when we had a Beis HaMikdash, we had a Sanhedrin. We had the great Sanhedrin that sat in the Lishchas HaGazis, in the chamber of the Yun Stone, in the Beis HaMikdash. The most outstanding personality, the head of the Sanhedrin, was known as the Nasi HaSanhedrin. Sometimes called the Rosh Yeshiva. And the second in charge was known as the Av Beis Din. Okay. The way that the term is used today, usually when you talk about a Beis Din, you call someone the Av Beis Din, they're the top guy in charge, the top person on the Beis Din. But again, in rabbinic literature, when we talk about a Nasi and an Av Beis Din, Nasi is first, is commander-in-chief, and second in command is known as the Av Beis Din. I want to just read you a tiny bit from the Rambam, in Hilchos Sanhedrin, which I have here. The Rambam begins Hilchos Sanhedrin in the following way. He says, there's a mitzvah saseh, shel Torah limnos shoftim v'shotrim, v'chol medino medina, v'chol plach u'plach. The Rambam begins the first parak of Hilchos Sanhedrin, that the Torah gives us a mitzvah to assign judges. Anyone know what pasuk it's from? Shoftim v'shotrim titein lecha b'chol sharecha. Right? Parsha shoftim. You should have judges and officers in all of your gates. The Rambam goes on to explain that it's a mitzvah d'oraisa to appoint a beis din, to appoint judges. And then the Rambam says in Halacha Beis, Ein anu chayavin lahamid batei dinim b'chol plach u'plach u'v'chol ir v'ir ele b'eretz Yisrael. The amount of batei din that we have in Eretz Yisrael is going to be more than we have in Chutz La'aretz. Meaning every smaller area in Eretz Yisrael is chayiv to have its own beis din. However, in Chutz La'aretz, we don't need as much of a responsibility, and he shows how we know that from the pasuk as the Gemara in Sanhedrin proves. And then the Rambam writes in Halacha Gimel, Kama batei dinin kavuin yiyu b'Yisrael. V'kama yeh minyanan koivin b'tchila beis din agadol b'mikdash. Right, the Rambam says, so there are certain batei din which are established for the Jewish people, such as the Beis Din HaGadol Sheba Mikdash, right? The Supreme Court of the Jewish people. The Beis Din HaGadol, also known, he says, as Behu Nikra Sanhedrin Gedayla, also known as the Sanhedrin, the Great Sanhedrin. How many members sat on the Sanhedrin in the Beis HaMikdash? Says the Rambam, Uminyanam Shivim Ve'echad, 71. 71 great sages sat on the Sanhedrin. And then the Rambam says, Hagadol b'chachma shebekulan, Moshivin oso rosh alehen, the wisest of all of them is appointed as the head of them, v'hu rosh ha-yeshiva, and he's known as the rosh ha-yeshiva. Amongst those who are seated in the Lesh Chasagazis, he's the rosh, he's the head, rosh yeshiva. V'hu shekorin oso chachamim nasi, v'chol makom. That's what we find the term nasi means, as it's used, again, in all places. V'hu ha-omeh tachas Moshe Rabbeinu, v'moshim en ha-galo shivishivim, Mishneh L'Rosh V'Yoshem Yaminom. So again, in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe is the head. There's 71 sages alongside him. The top, the wisest of the Chachamim is known as the Nasi, or the Rosh Yeshiva. And then says the Rambam, we assign someone to sit alongside him to the right, his second hand, V'hu Nikra Av Beistin. And he's known as the Av Beistin. So when you're learning Pirkei Avos, you see the Mefarshim talk about this one's the Nasi, this one's the Av, where we still had the system of having a Nasi, an Av Beis, of having a Sanhedrin. Okay? Okay, so now let's see what they say. So again, back to the Mishnah. Yossi ben Yo'ezer, Ish Sreda, v'Yossi ben Yochanan, Ish Yushalayim, Kiblu Meham. But before we point out what they say, let's just point out a couple other things. First of all, Yossi ben Yochanan Ish Yerushalayim. What does that mean? How do you get the title Ish Yerushalayim? Was he the only person from Yerushalayim? Was he the most chashuv person from Yerushalayim? Well, we know he's not the most chashuv person from Yerushalayim because he's second to Yossi ben Yo'ezer, who's the Nasi. So I'll share with you something that maybe you've never heard. It's very fascinating. There's a Gemara in Maseches Erechin on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, that says that there are actually two places called Yerushalayim. This Yossi ben Yochanan may have been not from Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh, but from a different place known as Yerushalayim. It's just interesting to note these types of things as they appear in various places. I once gave a shiur on all the people where, you know, two people have the same name, or two places have the same name. Like, for example, the Gemara says in Sota, right, when it's trying to figure out what happened with Yehuda and Tamar, so it says that there's more than one place named Be'er Sheva. And there's more than one place named Timnas. And Tosfos in Maseches Gittin says that there are two places called Rechem, and there are two places called Cheger. Sometimes you can solve Gemara, you say, well, how could that be possible? Oh no, it's talking about the other Yerushalayim. It's talking about the other person with the same name. Rashi Maseches Kedushin says, when we talk about Eliyahu, there's two Eliyahus. We sometimes confuse Eliyahu. Eliyahu is a person, he's a malach, he's both, he's neither. Right? Maybe there's two Eliyahus. Or how about Tosfos and Kedushin on Daf Ches? Where Tosfos says, Rav Kahana, the Gemara says, Rav Kahana says like this, but Tosfos says, how could Rav Kahana say like that? Rav Kahana elsewhere says otherwise. And Tosfos answers that by saying, maybe it's a different Rav Kahana. Two Rav Kahanas. Okay? So if you're bothered, and some of Farshim are bothered by this question, what does it mean, Yossi ben Yochanan, Ish Yerushalayim, the man of Yerushalayim? Maybe it's from the lesser known Yerushalayim. If you wonder sometimes why Bilam seems to live forever, don't panic. The Chizkuni writes in Shemos, there's two Bilams. Yeah, Bilam, the Zayda Bilam, the Einikul Bilam. Yeah, he's named after Bilam. Okay? So that's just an interesting ha'ara about Yossi ben Yochanan Ish Yerushalayim. Well, let's see what they said. Yossi ben Yo'ezer Ish Sreda Omer, Yehi Veischa Bezvad L'Chachamim, Vehevi Mis'abek Ba'afar Raglehem, Vehevi Shosa B'tzama Estivayim. Three things. Yossi ben Yo'ezer said, the Nasi said, let your house be a bezvad l'chachamim. Let your house be a meeting place for the sages. Host shiurim in your house. Host parlor meetings in your house. Invite chashuv people to visit your home. V'havi misabek ba'afar raglayhem. V'havi misabek ba'afar raglayhem means, what is misabek ba'afar raglayhem? What's avak? Dust. Right? Become dusty with the dirt of their feet. I'll have to explain what that means. And drink their words thirstily. Drink their words with thirst. Okay, there's a lot to talk about here. First, let's read the Bar Tanura. Yehi beischa beizvad l'chacham, he says at the bottom of the page, kishayirtzu achachamim leiskabes ulezvayid, when the rabbis are looking to get together and have meetings, yehi beischa muchan l'davar zeh. Try to make your home the type of place where the rabbis would want to have their meetings. Shiragilim lomar niskavit to beis ha-shaploni. The people, when the rabbis are saying, where should we host our meeting? They'll say, oh, I'm sure Yankel would be happy to host our meeting. Because Yankel has shown himself to be a person who gives kavod to Rabbanim. And why is it so important from Yankel's perspective? Is it just, you know, it's an act of chesed, they have nowhere else to meet? No. When I bring holy people into my home, it transforms my home. You're not invited to the meeting. Yeah, you're Yankel, the real estate guy. You're not going to sit at the meeting of the Gedolim. But just the very fact that these tzaddikim, these Talmidei Chacham, are walking into your home, right? Maybe a passing conversation that you have with one of these great Rashi Yeshiva, of course you're going to learn something from them. So just bringing them into your house, even if you're not spending time with them, just allowing them to have a meeting in your house, there's no doubt, says the Bar Tanur, that you'll learn something from them. Mashlo, mashlo, lama davar doma. To what can this be compared? Lenichlas lechanusa shel bosam, like a person who walks into a perfume shop. Afal pi shelo lokach chlum, even though he doesn't buy anything. Mikomakum reach tov kalat vahotzi imo. But he picks up a little bit of the fragrance, and it leaves with him. Maybe a more appropriate Yeshiva University mashal would be the smell of Golan that we have in our room this morning. We're going to walk out and someone's going to be like, but did you have Golan for breakfast? But no, we were in a room that had Golan apparently, I don't know, last night or before Pesach or who knows on. So when a person goes into a certain environment, it rubs off on that person. I like to say that's the reason I think, or part of the reason why, the Gemara says in Shabbos that when Hashem spoke at Har Sinai, the world filled with a reach of besamim. The Gemara says in Shabbos, with each mimer of a Kodesh Baruch at Har Sinai, the world filled with this unbelievable fragrance. I think it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu's way of saying that what? That an event that took place in Har Sinai, right, left a mark on the whole world. There's a hashpa. And that's how a Jew has to, that has to be our attitude when it comes to Torah in general. Sometimes a person feels like, I don't know, I'm not gonna get enough out of it. A person who walks into a room and falls asleep and misses the whole shiur walks out a better person, a changed person. He picks up something. We're so worried sometimes, I'm not going to understand the whole thing. No, you got something from it. You walk into such a place, or you invite these tzaddikim into your home, it changes a person. So at Har Sinai, Hashem accompanied the Torah with what? With a reach of besamim. We know there were sights and sounds at Har Sinai. The Gemara tells us there was also smell at Har Sinai. And it's this way of, again, it's a way of hinting to us that that Har Sinai leaves a reach on a person. An encounter with Torah or Torah personalities changes a person. It doesn't have to be a personal conversation. You just see a tzaddik for a couple of seconds. You become a different person. Yeah?
Can you say also that smelling affects the neshama?
Sure. Sure. 100%. 100%. Okay, so that's the first point. Make your home into a place where chachamim feel welcome and you will be improved by their presence. Second point. V'havi mis'abik v'afa raglayim, says the Bar Tanura. Says Rav Avadim Bar Tanura. Again, for those who aren't here earlier in the week, Rav Avadim Bar Tanura lives around 500 years ago, from the year 1440 to 1516. He says, klomar, sh'teilech achareihem. What does it mean, become dusty with the dirt of their feet? If you're walking behind someone who's kicking up dust and you're trailing behind them, right? So you're going to pick up their dust. So in other words, says Bar Tanura, what this is telling us is you should be trailing tzaddikim. You should always be following tzaddikim. You see Rav Shechter walking down the street, you happen to be going the other way, so turn yourself around and go walk with him, go ask him a question. Walk alongside him, just walk behind him. Just walking in the presence of such a person has a hashpa on you. Walk after tzaddikim. Shamahalech maila avak biraglav, because when one is walking, he raises up dust with his feet. So again, this is not even a direct encounter. It's not a face-to-face encounter. But just trailing behind the tzaddik, again, you'll pick up a little something. The dust of their feet, you'll pick up a little something. Perish acher, another pshat. Sheteshev l'raglayim al ha'aretz. The second pshat, says the Bartanur, is that you should sit by their feet on the ground. The Gemara describes how it used to be that the Rebbe would sit and... Originally they used to stand, used to always, prior to the death of Rebbe Gamliel, they used to always stand when they would learn Torah. Far should say, not that it was usher to sit, but that was out of kavarat Torah, people used to stand. Then the generations got weaker, so people used to sit. But the Gemara says the Rebbe would sit on a bench, or a chair, a stool, and the Talmidim would sit on the ground by the Rebbe's feet. So if you're sitting on the ground, you're going to get dusty. But that's good, that means you're showing up to yeshiva. So says the Bartanura, that's what it means. You should become dusty by the dust of their feet. You should be sitting by your Rebbe's feet. And you should be willing to sit on the ground, right, to lower oneself, to learn from someone who's more knowledgeable than you. Shekacha yunoagim sharav yoshev al asafsal v'atamidim yoshvim l'raglav al gabe karka. Says Bartanura, that's how they used to do things. The Rebbe would sit on a bench, and the Talmidim would sit on the ground by his feet. And lastly, v'havishosa b'tzama es divrayim, turn over the page. Continuing in the Bartanura, Ka'adam tzame sheshosa l'teavon. You should drink up their words thirstily, like a person who drinks with great appetite. V'lo ka'adam saveya shekatz b'mezono. Not like a person who's full, and if you put more food in front of him, he's nauseous, he's nauseated by it. I can't, I'm mamish, my stomach's going to burst. Shemoes afilu b'dvarim ha'arevim v'tovim. Because a person who's so full, even if you put delicious food in front of him, right, dvarim arevim v'tovim, things that are pleasant, sweet, and good, he still says, no, I can't. What do you mean? This is a gourmet meal. I know, but I'm stuffed. I'm repulsed by it. I don't even want to look at it. So God forbid we should absorb Torah in a way where we're not excited about it. We should be thirsty for it. Like a person who, you know, went for a hike or a jog on a hot day, right? It comes back to a nice cold glass of water. That's the most refreshing thing in the world. It's just water. It's plain water, right? But when you're thirsty for it, it could be you know, life-saving. Okay, so too we should look at the words of our tzaddikim, our sages, in the same way. Okay, a couple ha'aras on this mishnah, a couple really nice insights. First of all, yihi beischa beis va'ad l'chachamim. There's another way to learn it that I saw Rav Nassan Gestetner. In his Peirush on Pirkei Avos called Lahoros Nasan. And the Sfas Emes, I saw quoted as having said the same thing. Yihi beischa beis va'ad l'chachamim could be read, the Pasha Pshat, like we said. You should make your house into a place where the sages get together for their meetings. It'll have a hashpa on you. The other way to learn it, it's a beautiful part. Yihi beischa beis va'ad l'chachamim. Where should you make your house? Where's your house? Your house is presumably the place where you spend the most time. Obviously, you know, people go to work and people go to school and people go to different things. But your house is like, that's your main place. It's my home. It's my bias. So yihi beischa, you know where your house should be? You know where your main place should be? By the beis vad l'chachamim. Go make your house where the rabbis hang out. Meaning what? The beis medrash. You hear? Yihi beischa, where should you feel at home? Yihi beischa, you know where your bias should be? Beis vad l'chachamim, where the rabbis get together, where people come to learn Torah. That should be a place where a Jew feels comfortable. Not just that he should invite the tzaddikim into his home, right? But his home should be, he should establish his place in the place where what? Where the chacham are found. I also saw on one of the mefarshim, Lubavitch Pirkei Avos, it said, Yihi beischa beis va'ad l'chachamim. Now listen, how often are you actually going to host rabbis in your house? So let's say you're that type of person who's always, you know, inviting speakers to your home and parlor meetings in your home and rabbis meeting in your home and people collecting tzedakah coming to your home. Yeah? So even if you're that type of person, okay, but how, it's not like, you know, most people don't have a whole group of rabbis, you know, living in their house. But it could be the Mishnah's telling us, your house should be the type of place that's a beis vad l'chachamim. Meaning, make your house the type of place where if Rav Chaim Kanievsky was going to walk through that door, he would feel comfortable. the chances of walking through a door are not great. If you're lucky, maybe once in your life you'll have that opportunity, you know, to host an Adam Gadol in your house. And when he's coming to your house, you're going to spend a lot of time getting your house in order, making everything look right, you know. Get rid of People magazine or whatever's lying around on the couch, you know. You want to make it that when this Rosh Yeshiva walks in, yeah, he sees a Torah Dikah home. Okay. But that's true even when they're not there. Yehi Beischa, let your house be the type of place where the rabbis would feel comfortable meeting, even if they're not actually meeting in your house. Maybe your house is not the biggest house in town, so maybe it's more convenient to have the rabbi meeting by the big gvir's house. But that doesn't mean my house should be a place where someone shouldn't feel comfortable walking into such a house. The second point, we have Misabik Ba'afa Raglehem. What else does the word avak mean other than dust? Right? Like we learned from the Bartanur, you should trail behind the tzaddik, you'll pick up the dust of his feet, or you should sit by his feet, humble yourself to learn by him. What else does the word of what else does avak mean? To lose? How about Yaakov Avinu and his fight against the Malach? Vayeovek ishimo adalos hashakar. Parshas Vayishlach. Vayivaser Yaakov levado. Yaakov was left alone. Vayeovek ishimo. What does Vayeovek over there mean? The Gemara in Chulin says that the dust was flying up to the Kisei HaKavod because they were Vayeovek. What were they doing? They were wrestling. Yeah? Vayeovek means to grapple with something, to wrestle with something. There's a very, very important comment from Rav Chaim Volozhiner in his Pirkei Avos, Ruach Chaim. Rav Chaim Volozhiner says, Ve'yavik ba'ofa regleihem means what? You should wrestle, you should grapple with the dust of their feet. What does that mean? It means you grapple with the dust of their feet. That means when you're learning from a Rebbe, it's okay, it's appropriate to what? To grapple with the words of your Rebbe. If your Rebbe says something, you don't understand it, so say, Rebbe, I don't know what you're talking about. If you don't understand it, say you don't understand it. If you have a question on it, it's not disrespectful to ask a question. Rav Avadia Yosef in his Pirkei Avos, his commentary on Pirkei Avos called Anaf Eitz Avos, he brings a lot of sources to show that it's entirely appropriate for a Talmud to wrestle with his Rebbe in his words. Rebbe, I don't think you're learning the sugya correctly. You say it in a respectful way. But a Jew has to be prepared to fight for Torah. At the same time, what's the next line of the Mishnah? Vaveshosa bitzama es divrayim, and drink their words thirstily. So you have to strike a balance between what? If my Rebbe tells me this, I drink it, I swallow it, that's it. No questions asked. I told you that the ostrichs are one of the reasons we knock out the teeth of the Rasha at the Seder, is because with the teeth, a person's chewing on something. Chewing means like the processing something. As opposed to drinking, you just swallow it. Right? So the Mishnah here says, drink the words of the sages with great thirst. If my Rebbe says this is how it is, if perspective, then it's my perspective. I drink it. I don't question it. At the same time, giving us permission, there's a time and a place for a Talmud to say to his Rebbe, I want to wrestle you on that idea. I'm not accepting that idea. I don't think correct. I see it differently. I have a different opinion. I'm able to understand it from a different perspective. Okay, so I think within this one Mishnah, again, Rav Chaim Volozhiner pointed out by the first part, but I think the two parts of the Mishnah go hand in hand. Wrestle, grapple with the words of the sages, but at the same time, drink thirstily the words of the sages. Trust your Rebbe if he tells you something. Right? Trust that he knows maybe more than you, and be willing to move out all your understanding of things to someone who's more advanced. Okay, let's talk further. Rabbi Shosa B'Tzama Es Divrehem. Drink the words of the sages with great thirst. So I want to read you a Rabbeinu Yonah on Pirkei Avos. Okay, you don't have it in front of you. You only have Bartanura. But listen to these words of Rabbeinu Yonah. Ravishosa bitsama es divrayim. Listen to this. Kamosha namar nefesh sveya tavus nofes. V'nefesh re'eva kol mar masok. Nefesh, it's Pasuk Mishlei. Nefesh seveya, a soul that is satiated, tavus nofes, will trample a honeycomb. A person who's full, you could offer them the sweetest thing in the world, they push it away. However, nefesh re'eva, says Mishlei, a soul that's thirsty, kol mar masok, will see even mar, even something which is bitter, not so pleasant to eat. If you're hungry, you'll eat masok, it's sweet, it's great, thank God, I found something to eat. If you're full, you can present someone, like I said, with a gourmet meal, and they'll say, no thanks. If a person's starving, if he's ra'ev, then you can even give him something which is a little bit bitter tasting, and in his eyes, it's the sweetest thing in the world. Chaver, listen to Rabbeinu Yonah. Mi shehu saveya mi divrei Torah, vein chef sobehen. A person who's full from divrei Torah, and he's not interested in them. Right? A person who says, I don't have any more room in my life for Torah. I'm maxed out in Torah. Afilu omrim lo margolios v'torah. You could offer him the pearls of Torah, the sweetest Torah in the world. Tavus osan nafsho. But his soul pushes them away. Because he doesn't have an attitude that I'm always hungry for more Torah. V'harayv mehen umis'ave l'shaman. But a person who acquires a thirst for Torah, a person who's hungry for Torah, a person who has a longing for Torah. Afilu omrim lo dvar below tam. Even if you tell him something, right, without an explanation, or you teach him an area of Torah, which one might say, God forbid, is a little bit less exciting to him, because he loves Torah, yimtok b'fiu v'yismachbo. It's sweet in his mouth, and he rejoices with it. It's another bit of Torah. Shiodeya shu emes achasharabo amro. He doesn't understand it, but my Rebbe said it, and I love it. I'm excited about it. Because he's the type of person who's what? Who's always hungry for more Torah. One of the Mefarshim explains, Havishosa Bitsama Estivreim, drink their words, right? Drink their words with thirst. Yeah? So Rav Chaim Volozhiner says in Ruach Chaim, he says, it's like a person who drinks salt water. Imagine trying to quench your thirst with salt water. You're thirsty, you drink some salt water, now you're even thirstier. You drink some more salt water, and you're now even thirstier. So he said, it's a funny muscle because drinking Torah is anything, you know, other than drinking salt water. Although again, what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying here is that if a person is, you know, desperate, if you love Torah so much, even if it doesn't taste great, even if it's salty water, you'll still drink it. Rav Chaim Volozhiner says, the more you learn, the thirstier you should become. It's a bad sign if when you learn Torah, you feel like, okay, I'm good now. I'm good. Yeah, I've learned enough. I've seen Torah, I have a basic grasp of Torah. I don't need to learn anymore. The person who drinks Torah should become thirstier with every bit of Torah that he drinks. Okay, I'll tell you a great pshat from a tzaddik from the 1800s, Rav Yehuda Asad. Rav Yehuda Asad was about 30 years younger than the Chassam Sofer, a contemporary of the Chassam Sofer's son, the Ksav Sofer. Rav Yehuda Asad says a gevaldik gvart. Listen to this. The Mishnah says, in Maseches Brachos, in the sixth parak, what bracha do you make on water? What bracha do you make when you drink water? Well, the halacha is, based on this Mishnah in Brachos, that if you're thirsty and you drink water, water doesn't have any taste. So if you're drinking water and you're not thirsty, halacha l'maisa, right? I took a pill this morning. I took a small pill. I take a small medication every day. So the pill I took this morning, when I drank water to swallow my pill, I didn't make a shakal in the water. Why? Because I wasn't drinking water because I was thirsty. Right? If I have something caught in my throat and I drink water to clear my throat, you don't make a bracha. The Mishnah says, in Maseches Brachos, Hashosa mayim litzam'o, omer shahakol nye bedvaro. Rabbi Tarfon omer berei nefashos rabos. If a person drinks water because he is thirsty, what bracha do you make? Again, you only make the bracha if you're thirsty. Says the Tana Kama, you make the bracha of Shehakel. Says Rabbi Tarfo, no, you should make the bracha of Berei Nefashos Rabos. What do we do L'maisa? We say Shehakel beforehand, and Berei Nefashos is a bracha achrona that we say after we eat, or in this case, after we drink. Okay? So now, let's think about this. Hashosa mayim litzam'o over Shehakel ni'abidvaro. And also Berei Nefashos Rabos. So it says Rav Yehuda Asad. He says, when a Jew, let's get back to the Jew in our Mishnah, right? The Jew in our Mishnah is Shosa Bitsama as Devrayim. He drinks the words of the Tzadikim with great thirst. So says Rabbi Yehuda Asad, that's like a person who's learning Torah Lishma. So excited about Torah. Loves Torah. So what happens when a Jew learns Torah Lishma? So Yehuda Asad says, well, two things that happen. A Jew has to realize that every time you say a word of Torah, you're creating a malach. Every dibur of Torah creates a malach. Not only that, the more Torah you learn, as some of us saw yesterday in Sif Seichin, the more a person becomes connected to Torah, right, you become the type of person who molds the will of Hashem. You can mold the will of Hashem. Hashem will be responsive to you. That's why when a person is sick, they go to a tzaddik and they say, can you daven for me? Because I know you have an in with Hashem. I know that you can make it, you could say, and there's many stories of tzaddikim, who said, Hashem, I decree that you do X, Y, or Z. And Hashem listens. It's a gvar and moed katan, adav tazayin. That the tzaddik has the ability to what? To be gozer and Hashem is makayim, or vice versa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is gozer, Hashem makes a decree, and the tzaddik says, Hashem, I refuse to let that happen. I'm mavatal the decree. Hashem says, this person needs to die. The tzaddik says, no, they're not going to die. Moshe Rabbeinu does it all over the place. Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem says, I'm going to destroy Klal Yisrael. Moshe says, no, you're not. So a person who's connected to Torah has the ability to what? To be gozer, to make decrees, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is makayim his decrees. So it says of Yehuda Asad, a beautiful drash. He says, Hashosa mayim litzamo, a person who drinks water thirstily, again, the Mishnah, this is his pshat, in the Mishnah in Brachos. A person who drinks water thirstily, what bracha do you make? Again, it's Machlokas in the Mishnah, Shakol Nia Bidvaro and Berei Nefashos Rabos. So he said, a Jew who learns Torah Lishma, who's excited about Torah, who drinks up the words of Torah with great thirst, like our Mishnah is describing. So what happens? First of all, Shahakol Nia Bidvaro. What does that mean? Shahakol Nia Bidvaro. What do the words mean? All will be Shahakol Nia Bidvaro. Everything will be according to his speech. Meaning what? He'll become the type of tzaddik who can make declarations that Hashem will do it. Shakol niyeh bidvaro. Hashem will do what he says. And not only that, with every word of Torah that he speaks, what bracha do you make after you drink water? Berei nefashos rabos. He is borei nefashos rabos. Every word he says, he's creating angels. He's making nefashos rabos. He's creating souls, angelic souls. But you have to be the type of person who's what? If you want Hashem to take your words that seriously, and you want that every word that you say to create strong, healthy, angelic forces, right? So then a person has to what? Has to drink the water of Torah in a way of thirsty, of thirstily. A person has to be excited for Torah. Like it says in Bava Kama, Daf Yud Zayin, Ein Mayim Ela Torah. So that's what our Mishnah is telling us. If you want to have great success in Torah, then you have to be the type of person who's enthusiastic about Torah. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, in his Parash on Pirkei Avos, says it's very important for us to realize, he says on this Mishnah, it's very important for us to realize that enjoying Torah is part of the Torah learning experience. You're supposed to like learning Torah. People sometimes think, learning Torah is a job, it's something I have to do. Sometimes I like it, sometimes I don't. Sometimes you even feel like if I'm not in the mood to learn and I learn, I don't enjoy it, but I still do it. In some ways, I feel like it's a higher level. I don't get any pleasure from it, and I still do it. In a certain sense, it's true. But Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says, people make a mistake sometimes to think that they're not supposed, like it's inappropriate to like Torah. Then I'm not learning Lishma. If I enjoy it, I'm not learning Lishma. He says it's not true. Part of proper Limud Torah is enjoying the Torah that you learn. And he says, I'll bring you a proof. How do you know the nature of a mitzvah? What are some of the ways that we can get to know what a mitzvah is about? Well, I can look at the bracha that accompanies that mitzvah. The bracha will usually tell me something about the mitzvah. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says, in Maseches Shabbos, there's a machlokas when it comes to lighting a menorah. The second parak of Shabbos. Right? Chanukah. When you light your menorah, do you have to put your menorah in the place first and then light it? Or could I light it and then put it in its place? I don't remember how the Gemara refers to that machlokas. Is hadlaka osa mitzvah? Right, is lighting the mitzvah, meaning it has to be in its right place, and at the time I light it, it's already ready to go. Or is hanacha osa mitzvah? Is lighting the mitzvah, or is placing it, hanacha, the placing of the menorah, the mitzvah? How does the Gemara solve that? The Gemara says, hadlaka osa mitzvah. Lighting is the mitzvah. You know how we know? You know how the Gemara knows? The Gemara says, because the matbeah shel bracha. What's the bracha? What's the bracha for lighting the menorah? Lahadlik ner Chanukah, lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. Right? So if the bracha says lahadlik, that's the essence of the mitzvah. So says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, let's look at Birchas HaTorah. And whatever's found in the bracha that we recite in the morning before learning Torah, as part of our davening, or even before davening, those of us who say it even beforehand, yeah, Birchas HaTorah tells us what the essence of the mitzvah of learning Torah is about. So what does it say in Birchas HaTorah? It says, V'harev na. Hashem, please make the words of Torah sweet. So says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, if that is part of the bracha, then that is an integral part of the Talmud Torah experience. It's not extra credit. It's not better to not enjoy it because then it's more lishma. None of that's true. Rav Yaakov says, part of learning Torah properly is to enjoy it. You should enjoy it. A Jew is supposed to enjoy it. The Chida, Chaim Yosef Dovar Azulai, the Sephardi Gaon from the 1700s, in his Sefer Rosh David on Parshas Baal Oscha, he says, you might think that you shouldn't make Birchas HaTorah. You know why? You know why you might think you shouldn't make Birchas HaTorah? Because the halacha is that a person who's forced to eat or drink something, the Ramah paskins that you don't make a bracha if you're forced to swallow something. If someone forced you to eat something or to drink something, you don't make a bracha on it. So you might think, listen, the Jewish people were forced into accepting the Torah, so maybe we shouldn't make a bracha when we learn Torah. Okay, and that's a funny question because we know that after Purim, the Jews re-accepted the Torah lovingly and willingly. Right? But you might think, there might be an argument, says the Chida, for not making Birchas HaTorah, because we're being told in our Mishnah here, you're supposed to drink up Torah, but maybe it's like a drink that's being forced down our throat. There are Ramah paskins in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Dalet that if you're forced to eat or drink something, you don't make a bracha. The Magen Avraham disagrees. The Magen Avraham says what? Even if someone forces you to eat or drink something, you do make a bracha. You know why? Why do you have to make a bracha? Shechein Nehena. Right? Because you benefited. You got the taste. You enjoyed it. You tasted something, you were nehena from the food. And the rule in Mesechas Brachos is you're not allowed to benefit from this world without a bracha. But since you got hanah from it, the Magen Avraham argues, he tries to prove that the Shulchan Aruch disagrees with the Ramah, that if you enjoyed it, so then what? So then you make a bracha. So says the Chida, even though we were originally forced into accepting the Torah, we still make Birchas HaTorah in the morning. Why? I thought you don't make a bracha, something that was forced down your throat, so to speak. But if you enjoy it like you're supposed to, even if we were initially forced into Torah, you still make a bracha. That's the Psach of the Magen Avraham. So you might think, don't say Birchas HaTorah. Why should I say Birchas HaTorah? It's just a job. I'm going to work, you know. Hashem forced me to do Torah. To live Torah, to learn Torah. But if you enjoy it, even if you were initially forced into it, then the halacha says the Magen Avraham is you do make a bracha. So again, we see from all these sources that a Jew is supposed to enjoy Torah. Rav Huttner in a beautiful letter in the Pachad Yitzchak, letter number 2. Rav Huttner explains, Lulei Sorascha Shashuai. Think about those words of the Pasuk. Lulei Sorascha Shashuai. Lulei, if not for the fact that the Torah was Shashuai. You know what Shashuai means? Haben Yakar Li Ephraim? Yeah? Haben Yakar Li Ephraim? Im Yelet Shashuim. Yelet Shashuim, like a child who's a delight. Shashuim means like a play toy. Something which is fun to play with. Yeah? A cute little baby. It's not like, you know, the most productive human being in the world. Basically, like, eats and sleeps and hangs out, and smiles a little bit. Yeah? But it's like the sweetest thing in the world. So David HaMelech says, Lulei sorascha shashuai. Lulei sorascha, if not for the fact that Torah was shashuai. Rav Futner says, in that letter in the Pachad Yitzchak, Rav Futner says, Torah is supposed to be like a toy. Torah is supposed to be fun. You think, David HaMelech, that's how you describe Torah? It's a toy? It's all fun and games? And the answer is, well, it's not all fun and games, but yeah, it's also fun and games. It's supposed to be fun. Torah is supposed to be fun. You're supposed to enjoy learning Torah. It's not supposed to be something where a person convinces himself that if I enjoyed it less, then it would be more lishma. You know who wrote a very famous comment on this? There's the Shem Yishmuel. Jamie, can you point to the Shem Yishmuel? The Shem Yishmuel's father was the Avnei Nezer, the first Rebbe of Sokhachev. And the Avnei Nezer wrote a famous work on Shabbos called the Eglei Tal, on the Lamates Malachos. Anyone who ever learns Masechet Shabbos learns the Eglei Tal. So in the Hakdama to the Eglei Tal, he writes there that people sometimes think that it's more lishma to not enjoy your learning. He says it's 100% not true. It's much more lishma to show Hashem that you love His Torah. Lulei sorascha shashuai. So again, that's part of what's being hinted to in our Mishnah. Have a shoysa b'tzama es divrehim. Drink up the words of the sages, of the tzaddikim, with great thirst. The Chabina Rav, I read in the biography of the Chabina Rav. The Chabina Rav was once looking at his svarim on his shelf, and he said to someone, he said, believe me, if I could swallow them whole, I would. They said, looking at a bookcase. That's how a Jew is supposed to love Torah. He pointed to the svarim, he said, believe me, if I could swallow it whole, I would do it. That's how he shows up at Samas Devarim. That to me is the greatest example of how he shows up at Samas Devarim. I just want to absorb as much Torah as I can. Again, like Rav Chaim Volozhiner said, like a person who's drinking salt water, I'm just thirstier and thirstier and thirstier. I just want more and more and more. And realize that when I do it with excitement and enthusiasm, then what happens? Shakol niya bidvaro. My words become the word of Hashem. And what? And brain of Fashos Ravos. I create a lot of souls. It's also brain of Fashos Ravos in the way that, you know, Avram and Sarah, as a nefesh asher asu b'charon. If you're excited about Torah, it's infectious. It rubs off on the person next to you. If you're sitting there falling asleep in front of your Gemara, yeah, so the guy next to you, the guy who's watching you, says, oh, Torah's very boring. But if you're excited about it, I told you that story, no? I don't remember even how the story goes. Someone told me that they were sitting on a... Remember I told you this? They were sitting on a train learning Daf Yomi?
Yeah.
Well, and some woman said to him, like what'd she say to him? Like, it's not like... That book you're reading must be very boring because you like, keep falling asleep.
No, not that.
It's no, what was that?
Interesting, but you look very boring. And it was about something in the Beis HaMikdash, like the flower.
I don't remember. Some woman, some non-Jewish woman called someone out for, you know. Like, I see you sitting, maybe, it could be there, someone like they saw each other on the train every day on the way to work, you know. Like, I see you're with that book all the time, but like, you're always, you know. Must be very boring because you're always falling asleep. My favorite line from Avigdor Miller. Remember the line from Avigdor Miller? Avigdor Miller used to say, I think it's his yahrzeit today or tomorrow, sometime this week. Avigdor Miller used to say that I never saw someone fall asleep in an ice cream shop. That was his line. You never saw someone eating ice cream going like this. You know, like dozing off with a scoop of ice cream. But you've seen people do that in davening. You've seen people do that in the Beis Medrash. Okay, so obviously we like ice cream more than we like Torah. That's a tragedy. You have to try to make it the opposite. Okay. So when I'm watching, you know, when I'm watching the game, I would never fall asleep. But when I'm trying to keep my eyes open during night seder, it's like the biggest avoda in the world. Why is that? Okay, so it obviously says something about what we're more excited about. So the goal is to be the type of person who loves Torah and is excited about Torah. Okay, let's do one more Mishnah. Mishnah Hey. Yoisi ben Yochanan. Yoisi ben Yochanan, Ish Yerushalayim Omar, Yihi Beischa Patuach Lervacha. Your home should be open wide. V'yu Aniyim B'nei Veisecha. And let poor people be like the members of your household. V'al Tar Basicha Im Ha'isha. And do not engage in excessive conversation with women. B'ishto Amru, says the Mishnah. That's true even for your own wife. Kal v'chomer be'eshes chavero. Well, the more so one should be careful not to be too chatty with someone else's wife. Mikan Amru Chachamim, from here the sages learned, Kolzman Sha'odamar Besicha Ma'isha, when a person engages in excessive conversation with women, Goreim Ra La'atzmo, he causes harm to himself. And Ra, harm in this context, usually means it leads to sexually immoral activity. Ubo tell me divrei Torah. He gets caught up in conversations and ends up wasting a lot of time. He removes him from the study of Torah. Visofo yoresh gehenim. And in the end, he will inherit a portion in Gehenna. Okay, it's a very harsh Mishnah. Okay, but we have to try to understand it. So let's go step by step. Says the Bartanur, Yehi beischa pasuach lervacha. Says Rav Adi Bartanur on the bottom of the page. Your house should be open wide, kebeiso shel Avraham Avinu alav shalom. Like the house of Avraham Avinu, shaya pasuach la'arba ruchos ha'olam. Like the tent of Avraham Avinu that was open on all four sides. Kadei shelo yitztarchu ha'orchim lahakiv limtso ha'pesach. Avraham's tent was open on all sides so that the guests would not have to work extra hard to find the doorway. Whichever direction you were coming from, there was a doorway. Now, obviously, this is talking about on a simple, you know, hachnasas orchim, gemilas chasadim type of level. But on a deeper level, clearly, our Mishnah is hinting to something more. Avraham Avinu used the food that he was serving people as a way of being makari of them. And if Avram's tent was open on all sides, what that means was Avram had the ability to connect with people regardless of where they were coming from. It didn't matter where they were coming from. Avram said, I have a way of connecting to you, of teaching you Torah. Think about the words for a second. Yehi beischa pasuach lirvacha. What does that mean, yehi beischa pasuach lirvacha? Beischa obviously means your house, but beischa also means what? Your beis. What beis? The beis that begins the Torah, the beis of Bereishis. Let your beis be wide open. Meaning what? Let the way that you interact with Torah be, teach your Torah, your whole understanding of Torah should be in such a way that what? That it brings people close. That it invites people in. Or how about the next phrase in the Mishnah? V'hi aniyim b'nei beisecha. The Gemara in the Nedarim says an ani is not only a person who lacks money or food or shelter, but the Gemara in the Nedarim says ein ani ela bedas. Ani means a person who is intellectually poor. So be the type of person whose beischa is pesuach lervacha, whose beis, his chelak in Torah, is open wide. He wants to share Torah with others, and he makes aniyim. He lets those people who are not as educated as him b'nei beisecha. He invites them into his home. He teaches them. He educates them. He wants to share Torah with them. Like we said a few moments ago from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, if you look at the bracha of Birchas HaTorah, that tells you about the essence of Torah. So what else do we find in Birchas HaTorah? You know what else it says in Birchas HaTorah? We acknowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what? Is the Melamed Torah Lama Yisrael. Hashem is a great teacher of Torah. Why do we highlight in our Birchas HaTorah that Hashem is a teacher of Torah? Because part of the essence of the mitzvah of learning Torah is teaching Torah. Every person has to try to teach Torah. We were looking earlier this week, you remember we were looking at the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvos, where the Rambam was telling us, you know, how to count mitzvos. So listen to this. Mitzvah number, now the Rambam describes mitzvah number 11. Lilmod Torah ulalamda. The mitzvah of learning Torah is what? Lilmod Torah, learning Torah, ulalamda, and teaching Torah. Shenamar v'shinantam levanecha. Chevra, let me ask you, where does the Torah even say that a Jew is supposed to learn Torah? It's kind of hard to find the source. We could find the source. I told you once, Devar Parakei Pasuk Aleph. But you know what's easier to find in the Torah? V'shinantam levanecha. Teach it to your children. It's easier to find the source telling you to share it with others than it is to find the source that what? That you should learn for yourself. So says Yossi ben Yochanan, Ish Yerushalayim, the Av based in on the Sanhedrin. Make sure that your bays, make sure your chelek in Torah is wide open. Make sure that ani and people who don't know a lot of Torah are b'nei beisecha, that you teach them Torah. If a Jew says, I'm just going to work on my own spiritual growth, that's a wrong attitude. That's not how a Jew acts. If I want to be a person who's learning Torah, included in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is the obligation to what? To teach it to others. Mamish part of the mitzvah of Limud Torah. A Jew who just sits and learns all day and never teaches someone else, doesn't have time for chavrusa with someone who's not as knowledgeable as he is, it's criminal. It's a criminal act. And I'm a kai in the mitzvah of learning Torah. What do you mean? I learned 10 hours today. Yeah, but you didn't teach one word to someone else. Lubavitch Rebbe used to tell people, every Jew has the ability to teach Torah. If you know Aleph, teach Aleph. If you know Beis, teach Beis. Find someone. There's people who don't know Aleph Beis. Teach them the letters of the Torah. Find the Jew who doesn't know that the first parsha of the Torah is called Bereishis. And tell him. Let him have that knowledge. Let him acquire that knowledge. Everyone should teach Torah. Okay? Let's continue in the Bar Tanura. Says the Bar Tanura, on a more pashut level, what does it mean, v'yiyu aniyim b'nei b'secha, let poor people be members of your household? He says, v'lo yikne avadim l'shamsho. Don't acquire servants to serve you. Mutav sheyeinu yisrael minachasav, v'lo zera kanan ha'arur. Better than what? Better than allowing yourself to hire non-Jewish house help. Find a Jew who needs parnasa, and hire that Jew to help you around the house. If you're the type of person who's looking to hire, you know, avadim, people to help out at home, so why would you wanna give that money to someone else? Help a brother out. Help out a fellow Jew. It's an important attitude in general. Do you stop and think, if you're buying a new laptop, do you stop and think, maybe there's a Jew who sells laptops? Why would I give my business to, you know? Again, obviously, if I can get it that much cheaper on whatever, Amazon, so do that, right? But maybe stop and think for a second. Wait a minute, I can do business with a fellow Jew, right? I'm looking to hire someone. I need to hire a locksmith. So find the Jewish locksmith. Or take my clothing to a Jewish dry cleaner, right? It's a general attitude of helping out our fellow Jews. And then the third thing he says is Altar Basicha Meisha. Now, what's the connection between all these things? Just Pashup Shat. Your home should be open wide. You should be generous to look out for Aniyam, Aniya Yisrael. But don't talk too much to women. What's the connection? So if you learn the first part as being kiruv, this is what one of my old friends said to me like 18 years ago. He said this pshat in the Mishnah. I thought it was a good pshat. I always say this pshat. That if you learn the first part of the Mishnah as being not just, you know, giving food to the poor, but teaching Torah to someone who's not qualified, who doesn't know so much, be careful that you don't go into kiruv, yeah. Meaning, if you're a male, be careful that most of your kiruv is with males. Let the women handle the women, let the men handle the men. Avram was Megayir as Ha'anashim, Visara was Megayir as Ha'anashim. Yeah. Some people use kiruv or teaching Torah as a pretext to spend time with members of the opposite gender. So what are you saying? What should say? You're saying we shouldn't do NTSY? I didn't say that. Something you have to think about. I think some people are not careful, you know. You spend all Shabbos afternoon learning one-on-one with that pretty 10th grade, you know, high school girl. I don't know. Is that really about Torah? Or like, it's also nice to sit with her and imagine we're going to get married one day after our Makar review. I don't know. It's a slippery slope is the point I'm trying to make. So the Mishnah is saying to us, You wanna have a welcoming home, you wanna be makari of people, you wanna invite people in, that's great. Be careful. Be very careful. Okay, let's read how Bar Tanur explains. Be'ishto Amru. Be'ishto Amru. The Mishnah says, be careful even the conversation between husband and wife, which is obviously permitted. But be careful. Be'ishto Amru. With your own wife, you should be careful. How did Chazal know that? Midika Amar im ha'isha. From the fact that the Mishnah says, Al tar basicha im ha'isha. Don't have a lot of conversation with the woman. Who's the woman? Your woman, your wife. The woman in your life. That even with one's own wife, one has to be sensitive. It doesn't say, Al tar basicha im isha. Lamadnu shebe ishto amru, with your own wife. Ist mafarshi, some explain biishto nida bovad. Some say that the Mishnah is specifically talking about when your wife is not permitted to you. Right? So when your wife is tame, when a husband and wife are not permitted to be together because she's a nida, so you have to be careful the types of conversations that it shouldn't lead to any acts of intimacy. Shelo yavo lidei hergel avera. Umidivrei ha-mishnah nira, but on a more simple level, it sounds like from the Mishnah, dafilu biishto tahora. Even when your wife is permitted to you, it's not a free-for-all. The way a husband and wife speak, even the intimate conversations of husband and wife, have to be thoughtful and have to be careful. V'chein amru chacham, the Gemara says in Chagiga, on the pasuk umagid la'odam masecho, that a person will be told what his conversations caused. Afilu sicha kala shebein ish li'ishto magidin lo b'shas hadin. Very powerful Gemara. Even the what? The sicha kala, even the private, intimate conversations. Yeah, the things that husband and wife discuss in the bedroom. Even such a thing a person has to answer for on the Yom HaDin. Even such a thing a person has to answer for on the Yom HaDin. Every word that a person says has to be cautious. Elim kein sarach lafaisa l'dvar mitzvah. Obviously, a husband can speak lovingly to his wife, right, in order to be intimate with her in the proper way. Can go in Rav, like the Gemara tells us about Rav, disach v'sachak v'asa tzarachav. That Rav used to talk with his wife and then joke with his wife, and then he would be intimate with his wife. So obviously, if it creates a loving atmosphere, of course it's appropriate. It has a place. But even a private conversation is not a private conversation. Hashem is always in the room. Even in the bedroom, even in the bathroom, Hashem is always there. So we have to be mindful of that. Mikan amru chachamim. From here our sages learnt. So what does that mean? It's like a Mishnah within a Mishnah. From here our sages learnt. It says Bar Tanura, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Shesidur HaMishnayos Kasva. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, when he was writing the Mishnayos, he added this editorial note. Midivrei Chacham Zeh, from the words of Yossi ben Yochanan, we learn, Al Tar Besicha Meisha, we learn that what? That Kol Zman Sha'adam Mar Besicha Meisha, Gorim Ra La'atzma. When a person speaks a lot with women, he causes trouble for himself. Why? Says Bar Tanura, Matzasi Kosov, I found that it's written, Kisha'adam Misaper Li'ishto Korosov, when a person talks to his wife, this is what my boss did to me at work, and this is what the guy who I sit next to in shul said to me, and he's going on and on and on and on, talking about all his, you know, happenings. Kach v'kach eira liyim ploni, himalamato lachar cheriv. So you're creating machlokas. You're bringing people into it. And then she's going to go and she's going to tell her sister, and her sister's going to tell, you know, this one, and then it's going to get back to the other person's wife. And so be careful. Yes, certain conversations have to, you know, husbands and wives have to vent a little bit to each other, but be careful. Too much talk is going to cause machlokas, and it's going to come back to be bad for you. Kigon Korach, Shesiper Li'ishto Ma'asa Moshe. Like Korach, who was complaining to his wife about Moshe Rabbeinu. And of course, it led to the most horrible machlokas of all time. Okay? So a person has to be careful, even when it comes to the conversations of husbands and wives. I'll tell you just one great line from the Kotzker. One little maisa that I saw in the Emes V'Emuna, a volume of the teachings of the Kotzker. It says that the Kotzker and Rav Yitzchak of Vorki were once walking together. Rav Yitzchak of Vorki walked into a shop, into a little store. He needed to purchase a knife. So the woman at the counter, he says to her, how much does this knife cost? He pointed to a knife, I guess like in a display case, how much, or on the shelf, how much does this knife cost? So the woman said it costs, whatever, four ruble, kopek, you know, whatever. Shkalim, four shkalim. Yeah, it costs $4. So Rav Yitzchak of Vorki thought the price was a little high, so he started to bargain. Started to bargain with her. He said, four pruta is a lot, you know, I'll give you three pruta. And she said, I don't know. They're going back and forth. Okay, finally the woman says, you know what, fine. Rabbi, I'll sell it to you for three pruta. So they walk out of the store. And the Kotzker says to Rav Yitzchak of Vorki, he says, you should know that Al Tar Besicha Ima'isha is also worth a pruta. And he went back and forth with this woman, this whole conversation, you know, to save a dollar. You should know that having less of a conversation with her is also worth a dollar. So maybe next time, instead of negotiating, you know, realize what Chazal said here. Chazal were very sensitive and understood that there's a very fine line between being friendly and being appropriately, you know, cordial in terms of speaking to people of the opposite gender, and again, and the very slippery slope that emerges when a person gets a little too comfortable. Okay, so it's a strong warning, and the words of Chazal are very strong here, but again, we should take it to heart. I forgot to tell you one Chafetz Chaim. Let me end with this. Chafetz Chaim said, your home should be open wide, and let poor people be the members of your home. Chafetz Chaim had a very, very important recommendation when it comes to doing chesed. Imagine if your brother showed up at your house, or your sister, or your parents. Unexpected, right? Unexpected. All of a sudden, you know, you get a knock on the door a couple minutes before candle lighting, Friday afternoon. It's your brother. What are you doing here? Oh, I was traveling. I was trying to get somewhere for Shabbos, and my car broke down. It's been crazy. This was, you know, you were like a close enough place I could get to, so I Ubered to your house for Shabbos. Why didn't you call? My phone was dead. So you say to your brother, I don't have, like, you know, your brother shows up with his family. Six people show up. We didn't cook that much for this Shabbos. We didn't prepare that much for this Shabbos. Right? So imagine, you're going to turn your brother away? Or you're going to make it work? Okay, so we'll cut the chicken into smaller pieces, you know? And we'll find some other things that we didn't plan to serve on Shabbos, but we'll put out some other things. Right? You're not going to say, you know what, it's not a convenient Shabbos. We didn't, you know, we were hoping to have a quiet Shabbos. What do you mean? It's your brother. You're not going to throw him out? You're not going to let him come in for Shabbos? Your parents? You're not going to let them in? So says the Chafetz Chaim, what does the Mishnah say? Let poor people be what? B'nei Be'secha, like the members of your family. Sometimes we make an excuse and we say, I can't do chesed because I don't have the, you know, the wherewithal to provide properly for the ani. I don't have such good accommodations. I don't have an extra bed. So what would you do if your brother showed up? You know what you would do? You'd pull out a sleeping bag, yeah, and you'd give up one of your pillows, and you'd make it work. Someone would sleep on the couch, someone would sleep, you know, you'd make it work. So the same thing is true with the ani. Don't pretend that, I would love to help you, I can't make it work. Says the Chafetz Chaim, Yehi aniyam b'nei b'secha. Treat poor people like the members of your own household. Yeah. Do what you can. Someone comes to your door and they're collecting tzedakah. They say, if you can help me, you know, you seem like a generous person, if you can give $180. Let's say you can't give $180, it's a lot of money. Right? Sometimes tzedakah collectors tell you how much they want from you. Oh, if you could give me $180, I'd really appreciate it. Right? So if you can't give $180, so should I not give him $5? Give him five bucks. That's what I can afford to give. I feel embarrassed. He's looking to get $180, $5. It's like, do what you can. If it was a relative who said, I need your help, you would do what you could. So same thing says the Chafetz Chaim when it comes to helping others. To see every member of Klal Yisrael as our relatives. All right, two beautiful Mishnayos. We'll stop here for today. Shkoyach. Thank you for learning with me.